And welcome to another edition of the KO Show. Joel Gunderson coming on here shortly. Just waiting for him to log in. Let's see. Sweet. There you are, Joel. You there, Joel?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
All right, there we
There you are.
go. There we go. Sweet.
How's it
How's it
going?
going, man?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
So, yeah, we wanted to sit down and talk to you about some Terry Stotts. Actually, we went back and forth on Twitter with Jeff and a couple other people, and discussed this whole Terry Stotts conundrum, I guess you could say. Obviously, it's done deal at $5.5 million or so a year, but I mean, what do you think about the deal overall?
Well, our conversation yesterday was definitely got turned on its head once the real deal came out. I think what started it yesterday was that a lot of people are looking at what some of the other coaches around the league are making that have not had the success that Terry's had, and they were seeing more of the annual salary as opposed to the security. And that was my argument
Sure.
that, if the reported deal was true and it was, there was lots of things being bantered around, but 5 years at 20 to me was more of a symbol of the Blazers' faith in him long term, as
Yeah.
opposed to throwing a bunch of money at him right away. But the fact they locked him in for 3 years after this coming season when the extension kicks in, so he essentially has 4 more years.
Yep.
I think it's perfect. I think it's the right amount of time. By that point, this current crop of players will either have dissipated and be done, or it will be where everybody, hopes that it could be,
Yep.
in deep runs. So it's the right amount of time for everybody involved. And if you saw the press conference today, obviously Neil and Terry are on the same page, and they know that this current crop of guys and this core group has a lot of legs in it. And the move, it's just a great move. I mean, I have not seen a coach that fit with this organization as well as Terry has, probably since you
Yeah.
got way back to Rick Adelman, to find a guy who fit culturally with the state, with the organization, and for him and Neil to be on the same page the way they are. That certainly has not happened around here in a very long time.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like, overall, even just go down the roster, go down the team, go down the players, go down just about everything from start to finish on the Trailblazers organization, I think it's probably the cleanest it's ever been. I mean, it really is. I mean, when you look at somebody like Damian Lillard, who really is a leader among this team and among these players, and then you t translate that down throughout, you've got all these players, even down to the Allen Crabbes or the CJ McCollums or the whoever you want to name. They all have a very similar attitude. They all have a similar identity. And as far as I think just like media perspective, probably one of the best teams to cover as far as honesty, openness, willing to answer every question, stick around. They get it. They understand. They're not going to dress like Russell Westbrook. They're not going to act funny like, Adams, Russell Westbrook too. Yeah. Adams or whatever. And so I think that's an interesting aspect of this Trailblazers team. But I know you've been covering, the Trailblazers and at other places as well. Can you kind of just summarize where you're at, where people can find you, and stuff like that as well?
I'm kind of here, there, and everywhere. I've
Okay.
been with the College Journal at Sports Illustrated for about 7 months now, doing some work for them, and freelancing as well. I've been helping out at Comcast Sportsnet.
Cool.
And you can find me on Twitter at jgundy85. I'm available for hire because I'm not locked into one place particularly
Cool,
right now.
cool.
So, if you're looking for someone to help out with the writing, I can definitely lend a hand. But going back to what you said there, even and I think back a lot to the ex interviews that happened last week, and one quote in particular really caught me off guard, but it was in a good way, and it showed where this team's at. And that was when Allen Crabbe was up there. And he a lot of times you expect these players to give the answer that you expect coach speak in a way or player speak, but he said, I'd like to be back here, but no matter what happens, I'm going to be making a lot more money,
Sure.
because he's coming off his rookie contract. And
Definitely.
it wasn't, he certainly didn't say, I don't want to be back here, I want a bigger role. And he didn't say, I need
Yeah.
to be back here more than anything. He just said, we'll see where it is. And but even he referenced the fact that you know, while his future with the team is up in the air and he's restricted, you know, he'll be here all summer. And that, for a guy like that, that is going to have stuff set in front of him that he's not had, and, yep. and he can go out and experience the free agency to in a small degree since he is restricted. But, you know, the fact that he's even going to be here this summer working with the guys, that he was more of a testament to what is being built than the other players who are on contract saying they're going to be here. You know, Allen could very easily go back to California, work out, you know, with his agents, or, you know, provide other people to work out with him. And, but he's even going to be here, even though he doesn't necessarily know that he's 100% going to be back.
Yeah. That's a really cool thing about these Trailblazers, as well as the offseason work they put in is kind of ridiculous. I think it's untouched as far as NBA teams are concerned. I mean, that San Diego trip last year, that whole experience for the whole team, it's just different from what any other atmosphere I've ever heard of in an NBA realm. Mm-hmm. And then moving forward, I think what will be interesting to see is what kind of offseason moves we expect in the draft, obviously. Do you – you know, I don't foresee any movement there as far as the Trailblazers are concerned. I just don't see them needing to get younger at this point in time. So there may be something where they trade their second round pick if they, you know, if they so choose. But I think overall, what are your kind of expectations for next season? And then also tailoring on to that question, more or less off season transactions, potential moves that you may think they make. Do you have any sort of idea or any sort of guess, I guess you could say?
Yeah, well, you know, one kind of sets into the other, but I think from an offseason standpoint, I think this is finally the year where they have to capitalize in the free agency market. And it does not necessarily have to be the biggest splash, but, and I'm definitely in the minority in this thought, and my view has flipped over the past couple months. But I am all on board with going after Dwight Howard, and you know, his story has been written. Everybody knows it, but I think that what transpired in LA in Houston, he's not innocent in it by any stretch of the imagination. But that was clearly a situation where he had poor fits.
Yep,
he was around the opposite style of teammates that he needed to be around. He was never going to fit with D'Antoni and Bryant in Los Angeles. He was never going to fit with James Harden. I don't think anybody's going to fit with James Harden. I think that guy I think he is – he's not only a coach killer, I think he's a player killer.
Oh, he's everything, man. I can't stand that guy.
Right, and there was some points being made I've been reading the last couple of days about how our free agents going to want to come to Portland knowing that the majority of the offense is taken care of between Lillard and McCollum. And that's why I think that Howard is more important than anybody else you could get. There are other guys that I would love to see them go after, like a Harrison Barnes.
Sure.
That guy. But I think with Howard, if you can bring him in, you know, plop him down in the paint, have him be the rim protector and get you 10 to 15 rebounds a night, that's all they need. And Howard has you know, he said it before, he doesn't necessarily need to score 20 points a game. That's not his style of play. He wants to feel involved, and he wants to feel like he's an integral part of the team. And here he would come. He would be the biggest free agent that's ever signed with the team.
Yep.
He can keep his mouth shut and his head on straight, which I think he could. You know, he's on the wrong side of 30 now. There's no excuses for him not to be a malcontent anymore. If he could come here and do that, he'd be a hero, and he would be able to push this team further. And not only that, him coming here would show other free agents that, hey, Portland's got something going on. And if he'll come here, you know, then that could open Pandora's box of players that would want to come over.
Sure. I see that. The one thing I've been thinking about a lot is, actually in the middle of the season, I had heard some rumblings of Harrison Barnes really loving Portland, loving the idea of it and stuff like that. I overheard a conversation I won't say where, but I overheard a conversation between a couple of players and a couple of agents, and it sounded like that was an interest or intriguing proposition, I guess you could say. And so that wouldn't surprise me all that much. But the one that I think is really interesting is Kevin Durant. And I know that Kevin Durant is probably not going anywhere after this OKC run, but I just – actually, more or less the storyline of it is more interesting to me than anything else. Just the idea that we decided not to pick him up when we did, you know, in the draft, and then go after him in a free agency type of category. I guess, how do you think he fits into what the Trailblazers do? I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not Skip Bayless here in this point. But,
We're you know, just, that.
But more or less, just like if he was to come, or if he was to even think about it, how do you think his role fits in with this Trailblazers team?
Well, he obviously, you know, this team becomes a perennial contender. If you were here, and honestly, Damian's the perfect point guard for him, because you know his ability to score the basketball is something that, you know, you would have to really look back in the archives to find somebody who was, you know, his height, his ability to score the ball, his shooting ability. You know, it gets overshadowed by Steph Curry and what he's doing, and rightfully so, because Steph's probably the best shooter we've ever seen.
Yep.
Durant's ability to score the basketball and knock down dagger shots,
yeah,
is incredible. And someone at his height, you know, like I said, he's not going to come here, but
no,
you know, he obviously and his personality, you know, he can be a little bit of aloof in press conferences after wins, and that, you know, not every guy can stand up there and look every reporter in the eye after a loss like
Damian.
And that's what makes Damian special, and that's why I think Portland fans have embraced him so much, because he is a different character. I'll tell you what, if Neil would lure Durant here, he'd never have to buy a beer in this state the rest of his life. He would, he would instantly become a cult-like figure. And you know, he's
all headed time
ready, because he's not, in my opinion, he's not made one mistake. But yeah, obviously, you know, Durant makes everything, changes the entire narrative, and then you're pushed in, and you have a 3 or 4 year window then where you are probably the best team in the league. And I don't think that would even be debatable, because, you know, even though the series was 4-1, Portland gave Golden State everything they could handle. The Warriors mentioned it a lot afterwards. They said that was the toughest 5-game series you can imagine. You know, to go back a little bit to Harrison Barnes, and he's obviously much more likely, if we're going to, you know, get anybody. And, you know, Olshay's thrown around the phrase career arc so many times over the last couple of years, you know, people are probably tired of hearing about it, but he does. He fits right in with it.
He
can stretch the floor. He's not such a dynamic shooter that he's going to be a top flight free agent, but he fits in perfectly with what they're looking to do here. And I think, you know, I've always been a big fan of Crabbe starting.
Yeah.
You know, 3-3 for the Blazers. But I think if you could bring in Harrison Barnes, that kind of solidifies the bench then on what you've got. And then you can make a play to keep Allen and let him become the sixth man that I think he's really capable of being.
Yeah, I think that's a great option. And I think there could be times as well where you maybe see like a Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Aminu, and Barnes even at like a 4, play a little bit small ball there. Or even, you know, potentially, depending on the situation and depending where it is, I mean, you could potentially have like a Myers at the center at that point if he decides to come back, and if that's the case. And that kind of leads me to my other point, which is, what do you expect out of the 3, 4, 5 free agents that we have on this team, and where do they go if they stay? How much are we giving away to keep them here? I think the biggest question is Myers Leonard, just because everyone knows his potential. Like, his potential is extreme in the sense of he's got the most room, or at least it seems like the most room to grow. His game is not that developed overall, no offense. But he's a formidable center at the current moment, but I think he could become a great center with the tools that he has already. And so let's talk about Myers Leonard for a little bit, and then also tailor into that the Allen Crabbe conversation and kind of what they'd command.
You know, and Olshay said it today at the press conference. He said he told Myers, he said, if you had the confidence in yourself that I have in you, you would be an all-star. And if there's
there
one guy on this team, if there's one guy really around the league that really you know, dug in and reached his potential, the guy's a monster. I mean, he really could be. He is 7'1", 260-270 pounds, and he's as athletic as it gets. He's as athletic as Mason Plumlee is.
Yeah.
But he could be about 30 pounds heavier and be the defensive you know, guy inside that we're looking for. So, and again, I probably am on the minority on this one as well. I say you give Myers what they offer. And if someone throws a ridiculous offer at him, which I don't think is going to happen, especially coming off the shoulder injury.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be an offer that Portland won't match. They've invested 4 years in him. He's really not had a full opportunity to show what he can do.
Yeah.
And remember, we're not the ones to see him day in and day out at practice. That's the players, that's the coaches, that's Neil. And they all say, you know what, the guy is doing his work. And, you know, yeah. Look at Justice Azili down in Golden State. I believe he's 26.
Yep.
He's still coming into his own. And you know, I think a lot of people view him as one of the top free agent big men that's out there, and it's taken him a few years to get it. So,
yeah.
You know, if now that Myers is getting the shoulder fixed, hopefully that won't become an issue. It's been, you know, it's crept up the last couple of years. I'm fully on board. He's obviously one of the three restricted free agents we have. I think you have to keep him. You cannot invest 4 years in the guy, especially one who has no red flags in terms of character or work ethic, things like that. You know, a small injury bug, but that's about it. You have to give him a, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. And then if he doesn't work out, then you kind of
want to get rid of it.
But
yeah,
you know, I don't think he's going to end up costing them $70 million like Cantor cost.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that kind of issue because Cantor had proven himself, and that's why Portland was willing to throw that huge offer out there and kind of stick it to Golden or Oklahoma City a little bit, but it's not going to happen. I personally, and I'm not running the team, thankfully for everybody else out there, but the three restricted guys in Harkless, Crabbe, and Leonard, you have to keep them all. And I say that specifically because I think Mo Harkless, while there's not one thing that he does extremely well, he's one of those guys that just finds the ball.
Yeah.
And he's someone you can build around. And, you know, he strikes me as the kind of player that, you know, he's 23 now. Maybe by the time he gets to be 26, 27, he's taken his game to the next level and he's found that next area because he is someone who definitely relies on confidence. And we saw it once he got it the last 20 to 30 games of the year in the playoffs, especially.
Yep.
Once he realized, hey, I belong and I can do this and they're giving me the opportunity to do it, we saw what he. And then, you know, I've said my stuff on Alan Crabbe. I think he's just a rock, and he's the kind of guy you need. He was the only one that could really hit a shot there consistently in that Golden State series. I mean, the team in general was going through a lot of shooting woes.
Yep.
And that's, you know, that's another reason why they have to be careful how much tinkering they do, because they pushed Golden State, and they had one of the worst shooting series that you can imagine they would have.
Yeah.
And other than the first two or three games of the Clippers series, Crabbe was rock solid. And he's a good defender, and he's got good size. He's got really good length. And again, on the same career arc, good player, good person. You know, you'd be foolish to let him go because what else are you going to find out there that's going to replace him?
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that's also. I mean, when I'm talking to people like media members and such around the league, Alan Crabbe comes up more frequently than people may assume. And I think that's surprising because not for myself personally, but for people that I have talked to in Portland, it's like Alan Crabbe is kind of, you know, when I say he can command probably $13, $14 million a year, I would not be surprised if he gets a number like that because of what his age is. And like you say, the career arc and like the path that he's on, you said it perfectly, but he single-handedly kept them in that series multiple games, especially when we were away from home. I don't know how many three-pointers he hit in transition or off the dribble, but it was pretty incredible to watch Dame, CJ, all these guys struggle from behind the field and behind the arc, and you know, then you see Alan Crabbe light it up and really keep them in the game for multiple times. I mean, it's not just that he's hitting threes. It's hitting threes in the crucial moments that need to be done. And, you know, with Golden State especially, it's like you get to that point where they're 8 points ahead and you're thinking to yourself, okay, this can go one way or another. Golden State can go on another 15-0 run and that's game, or Alan Crabbe can hit a three and keep you in this thing. And that's basically what he did time in, time out. And he was relied upon more than I've ever seen him this season so far in that series. So I think he's a valuable guy. I think he's got to be kept. And then the Myers-Leonard thing is interesting to me just because there are other centers on the market. And the only thing that gives me hesitation is, like, let's say Dwight Howard, you want to offer him a max deal and Myers is commanding double digit figures, which he's going to do one way or another. But, you know, $12, $14, $15 million a season, which we never know. I don't know. But that's where my fear comes in, is more or less, what do you do if you've got the decision to make between the two? And that would be my fear. And I don't know what you think about that, but I don't know if there's enough cap room. I haven't really gotten too much in depth about it, but I believe if you were to offer Dwight a max and pay Crabbe and Harkless, depending on the money that you pay Crabbe and Harkless, you may be at a impasse as far as dollars.
Exactly. And I think at that point, that's when they would have to sit down and if they think that Dwight is actually a viable candidate, and we don't know, maybe
we don't know at all. Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't even consider Howard an option.
No.
Because again, they know more.
These are all rumors.
But you know, you could also look at Howard as being a good defensive mentor to
yeah.
And you know, we saw it last year in the Memphis series. I mean, he played fantastic defense on Mark Gasol. And Gasol's a top center in this league. And, you know, he's been hurt this year and people kind of forget about him. But, you know, if there's not a lot you want Howard mentoring Leonard on, but, you know, the defensive presence and rebounding positioning, that's certainly one of them. And, you know, if Howard does become an option, you know, then you have to look at maybe between Leonard, Harkless, and Crabbe, one of those would probably have to slip through the wayside. But, you know, that – and we don't know if Howard's realistic. I mean,
no.
There was a rumor that was out that Portland made his top four, but we just don't know. You know?
Nobody knows, yeah. I mean, it's going to be up in the air for the rest of the offseason, I'm assuming. I think he'll probably wait it out.
He essentially has one more contract in his career that he will sign.
Yep.
You know, with the salary cap being bumped up, there's going to be a lot of teams that can offer him a max deal. So now for him, hopefully he looks at, okay, I have one more shot to winning a title. And his career, if anybody in the league now could use a title to help solidify their reputation, it's him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's 31, I believe, now. You come to Portland, you instantly have – he has between 2 or 3 years where we're going to be in that ballpark. And so, you know, it all depends on who else is out there. There's other teams that are one or two pieces away, like Charlotte, that could offer him a lot of money as well. And he fit in there. And
yeah,
so there's going to be a ton of moving. I have not been more excited for an off season that didn't have any picks in the draft. there's never been an opportunity for Portland to grab a free agent like they have now. I mean, there has never been the combination. When we had good teams in the early 2000s, there was players in the team that no one around the league wanted to play with. They did not want to be involved with that culture. And then when the culture was good in 2008, 2009, 2010, there was still the belief that, you know, there was a ceiling. And I don't think there's a ceiling on this team. I think there's so many pieces around there that guys around the league – and I cannot remember where I heard it today, but someone said Lillard's reputation around the league with other players, that he's a dude. He's just – and that – cannot be understated, because
no, not
there's
at all.
Lots of good guys around the league. There's lots of players that have good reps, but to be together and to just be one of the guys. And how many times do we see it this season where Lillard was sitting with, you know, DeMarcus Cousins and they were gotten it up. And, you know, we cannot underestimate the power that Damian has around the league, other players. You know, we can joke about his rap career and stuff, but that holds merit with guys.
Yeah.
That's you know, it shows that he's more than this. And in the day and age of social media, I really think that the free agency, the destination and the market size, I think that's starting to go by the wayside. I think that's getting overblown. Damian is a huge star. He's the face of Adidas. He's becoming the face of Adidas. And he's in Portland. He doesn't have to be anywhere else. So
yeah,
I think that there's real opportunity in the next 2 months that this franchise could not only shift – but they could do it while keeping things intact, if that makes any sense. You know, they
definitely
could really
it does
an impact.
Yeah, that definitely does. And the other thing that I find intriguing and interesting about this whole offseason is going to be the rumors that come out. I mean, obviously social media has erupted all these rumors just going from one to the other to the other. And I think it was last season. I don't think I could actually get off my Twitter account. Like, I literally was stuck on Twitter just looking at just like every 2 to 3 minutes Woj bombs and this and that, and LaMarcus Aldridge going to LA, and now LaMarcus Aldridge is going to Phoenix, and now he's going to he's going back to Portland, he's going to San Antonio. And it was like back and forth and back and forth, and not just LaMarcus Aldridge, we're talking, you know, so many different free agents and so many different scenarios. And then I don't think I will ever forget the statement. I want to say it was Amin Al-Hassan of ESPN. He made a statement on Twitter right after Aminu was signed, and I don't remember what it was, but I believe, "Are you out of your minds?" or something like that is like the quotations of it. And I will never forget when the Portland Trailblazers found out they lost LaMarcus Aldridge, and like half an hour later, Aminu was announced as a signing, and that was hilarious. So I thought that was just it just kind of states exactly what this team is about, in a sense. You know, overcoming objections, overcoming all the different things that people were saying and doing. And so that is an interesting portion of it. And I'm looking forward to the rest of this next off season, as well as the next season. The other question I had for you, and we can keep going on this Aminu topic and like kind of the free agency past, I guess you could say, as well as the future. The other thing that was, I found funny, was the StubHub announcement for the Philadelphia 76ers to be on their jersey. And now I'm starting to ponder the idea of what the Portland Trailblazers could possibly have as their patch.
Yeah, it's in this market, who knows what could possibly, what company's going to jump up and
I'm
do
waiting
it.
For Killer Burger, man. I really, really, I'm rooting for Killer Burger or one of these small places that's going to pony up some money and get it. I'm hoping it's not Moda.
Yeah, there probably is I'm assuming there's a conflict of interest there with the name rights of the building. Kind of go back a little bit, though, to what you were saying about what all that transpired last season. And I've been saying for a long time, and I'm certainly not the only one, but to me, the most important person in the organization, the one guy they cannot lose, it's not Terry Stotts, it's not Damian Lillard, it's Neil Olshey. And what transpired last season is example A of why that is, because it was not a case of, okay, Aldridge is gone, what are we going to do? That guy knew probably two in advance of what was going to happen if LaMarcus left. He had so many plans. He had a plan A, B, and C. And to have a GM that has that level of foresight, I guess, to think, okay, LaMarcus said, I want to finish my career in Portland. Well, you know what? That doesn't mean anything. And we now know that because players change their minds all the time. And I don't vilify LaMarcus at Aldridge at all. I really don't. The guy went back home. He wanted to change.
Good on him. Sorry, I'm not going to interrupt anymore. But, I think, in my personal opinion, I love what he's done for the organization. I love what he's done overall as a person. And for, you know, 9 seasons, you can't ask any more from a guy. So that whole topic for me is very, very easy for me to answer, which is more or less LaMarcus can do what LaMarcus wants to do. I don't feel bad. I don't feel, you know, I don't feel any remorse about it or anything like that. LaMarcus did what he wanted to do.
Yeah. He didn't handle it perfectly. He probably could have been a little bit more, you know, after the fact, he probably could come out with a better.
Probably.
But you know what? That's not his personality. You can't blame the guy for that. But, you know, it's just, we can champion all we want, but as long as Olshey has his finger on this team and around the league, there is not going to be a situation where the wheels come off, whether it's cap ability, his scouting ability, or just simply the fact that he gets what works around here. He knows the culture, and you cannot – this team this year from a talent and experience standpoint should not have won 44 games.
No, not at all. And actually, when you watch them – and I said this multiple times on way more, you know, just a ton of different wavelengths and a ton of different places – was that Philadelphia 76ers game – was the difference in this season. And that's just my opinion. They go to Philadelphia, they lose to a team that hadn't won a game in like over a couple of months. They were on like a 25 or 30 game losing streak, whatever the case may be, whatever it was specifically, they lose to that team. And then from then on, they literally put their heads down, went to work, and did something just absolutely remarkable. I mean, I don't remember what the stats were. We have them. But the first half of the season, it was looking pretty bleak for a while there. And then, we turned it around, and it's just been incredible to just see the difference that this team has had. And then to see these players that people thought were 8th, 9th, 10th man on a bench, Aminu, for an example, Plumlee, who people questioned could be a center, could be an actual player in the NBA, just all these different guys. Mo Harkless, who was on Orlando, who was – not a very good team either way, comes to Portland and does stuff. You know, I'd say arguably he made more of an impact in the playoffs than Tobias Harris did, who they got rid of earlier this season. So, I mean, I think, it's just been interesting to see this whole ride kind of form and develop. And now everybody's looking at the Trailblazers as the future of the NBA.
Exactly. And I think a lot of times you hear GMs talk about the championship window and, you know, depending on what happens in free agency, obviously the window's going to get more open in a sense, but the timeline will change. But I think with him in charge, you know, they're always going to be a playoff team and not the, you know, at the least. And, you know, not to say that Blazer fans don't want a championship, because clearly they do. Yep. But in this market, if you can be competitive every year and you could field the team that people are proud of and happy to get behind, runs like this year, you know, we don't ask for a lot more. We ask that our players respect each other, respect the community, work hard, put it all out there. And you know, it's almost more fun when you have guys that are, you know, looking for an opportunity, because that kind of represents what the city and the state are about. So, I think as long as Olshay's here, everything's going to be fine. And, you know, locking up Terry, obviously great. Terry's the top 6-7 coach in the league. That cannot be denied at this point anymore. So, you know, keep those two around. I think you're in good shape no matter what.
Exactly. Yeah. So, quick question for you. Wins, losses, total. This is the early season prediction that you can possibly ask for, but I figured I'd ask it. Early season, are the Blazers over 50 wins next year?
I think so, absolutely. Even if the roster stayed mostly intact, you have to go off of what they did after the All-Star break as more in line with what they're going to be. You know, they spent the first 3 months of the season just figuring each other out, figuring the system out. There were so many new guys. It wasn't just them learning to play together. It was learning to play in the system. Yeah. And Fox's system isn't necessarily complicated. He's not running the triangle, but you still have to figure it out. So I look at what they did from February 3rd on, or excuse me, whatever the day was after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
That on is what they are. And I think that team stays together. You know, they're not going to bring back every piece, but if you bring back 80% of the roster, I think they win 51, 52 games, because now they know what they can do. And I think losing to Golden State the way they did, being competitive, leading by double digits in the last four games, that does more from a confidence standpoint than anything else. That does way more than even beating the Clippers does, because it proved, hey, this team is an all-timer, and we stuck with them. And not only that, we punched them right in the face. And they got off the mat, but we punched them in the face. And you can get a shot in like that on the champ. That going into next year, they know.
Yeah. So – quick question. I'm going to start doing some quick hits here really quick. A couple of small questions. See what your answer could be here. So if the Blazers had the number one pick overall, who would you be choosing?
Ingram, without a doubt.
Wow.
Without a doubt. Yep.
Okay.
I think Ben Simmons is going to be a great player. Don't get me wrong. I really do. But I think that he has enough flags, cautionary flags.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, he can't shoot. And in this league, it's becoming about your ability to shoot. And
sure,
I think Ingram is obviously going to be a poor man's Kevin Durant, but a poor man's Kevin Durant is a lot better than other players that you could get. So, I would take Ingram, and I wouldn't even think twice about it.
Okay. And then favorite Trailblazer of all time, and then why?
Oof. Oh, boy. I'm going to say Brandon, because – when he came on board, the franchise was just – it was in shambles. And that's an understatement. I mean, we had watched what was at the – you know, throughout the 90s and the early 2000s, we had watched that crumble to a point that it was embarrassing to be a Blazer fan. It wasn't even that there was fans of other teams around here. It was just a flat-out embarrassment to be associated with that organization.
Sure. And
it wasn't just him. It was Nate. It was LaMarcus. It was Travis Outlaw. Prisbilla, but Roy was obviously the face of that. And, you know, his career was, you know, unfortunately taken by injuries, but what he meant to the franchise and the state for 3 or 4 years was incredible. And he provided us some of the most goosebump inducing moments we've seen. And they still resonate today. I mean, I'll never forget, obviously, you know, his fourth quarter against Dallas stands around, but early the season before, against Houston, when he hit the shot to win the game. I mean, that, you could see on his face and everybody in the arena that night, it was a sense of this is different. And that belief rang through to everybody. And he completely altered the trajectory of the franchise. 100%. Yeah. Second place would probably be Terry Porter. I love Terry in the day, but Brandon just edges him out.
So then we're going to lean on to this may be a touchy subject, but your favorite media member. In Portland area. There you go.
Oh, man. You know, and it's funny. So my dad really was the guy who started me off, and he from an early age he had me reading the newspaper, and he came on early 2000s. But I have always admired and respected and just kind of been enamored with the way he goes about it, and that's Jason Quick. And
yep,
because every time that he was on the radio or he wrote an article, you knew that the information coming from him was legit. Whether it was stuff you liked to read or you didn't, there was no fluff at all.
Yeah.
Because he was so connected, because he did his job so well and it was so professional about it. And he lent his thoughts to an article I wrote for the Cauldron back in October. And that was a huge honor, just getting to have him in my piece. And, you know, he's just an incredibly nice guy.
Sure.
On top of everything else, but his knowledge and his abilities, he's an incredibly talented writer, and he doesn't get the chance to do a lot of long form pieces right now, especially as they're kind of getting their rhythm at Comcast. But Portland is so lucky to have him, someone who's so well connected, because, you know, beat reporters kind of get shoved aside nowadays with this being so much media out there.
Yeah.
Guys that are really in there and do it on a daily basis. I mean, we're lucky around here all the way around. Joe Freeman, those guys are great. They really are. But Quick's been doing it for so long now that he knows the game. He knows how to play it, but he knows how to play it to where he's still getting the information that everybody wants. And he's getting you tidbits that maybe other guys don't. And and he does it day in and day out. He's just incredible.
Yeah. I definitely agree. The other question I had more or less would be favorite coach of the Blazers, your favorite coach. I mean, I'm going to assume it's Terry Stotts, but I don't know.
To me, it's Rick Adelman. It'll always be Rick, just because of what he and those teams early 90s represented my childhood. It's funny. I was talking to my wife last night, because we have a 3-year-old and we were doing something, and I said, you know, she's not going to remember this down the road. And we were talking about things you remembered. And I started thinking back to, very specific memories of my childhood and they all revolved around the Blazers. And there was one game in particular. It was the 91 season. We were playing at Chicago. I was sitting in my room with this little tiny black and white TV for some reason. I don't know why that's what I was looking at, but just the emotions I felt that game watching it. And I had Blazers stenciled, painted all over my walls. And I remember thinking at the time, because, you know, as a 7-year-old, you don't really think about the coaches as someone that you look up to. But I would have pictures of the players around my room. And I had a picture of Adelman because, you know, he represented at that time, you know, he coached at Chemeketa and he was around here. He felt like ours. And even at that early age, I knew that there was something special about Adelman. And you know, the rest of the country really got to see it. As he kept going, and even after he left Portland, the way things went. But Terry is a close second, though. I had a chance to work with Terry a couple years ago at some charity events that we did, and he's just an incredibly nice guy. You know,
personable
and he, self-deprecating. He has no problem laughing at himself, and that really connects with people. But until he gets to the finals, he's going to be Mr. Rick.
All right, Terry. There's your next goal here. It's funny you say that about Terry, because I was at Vegas Summer League last summer, and obviously Terry doesn't coach. He has the assistants coach, but he sits behind the bench, and, you know, fans came up to him all game long. Hey, Terry, how's it going? How's this? How's that? He always answered every question. Love your coaching. Hate your this. Hate your that. He's just like, well, you know, this is the way I do it. You know, blah, blah. He just kind of shrugged it off. Not a big deal. Didn't care if people, you know, came up to him, didn't care how many people came up to him. It was always very, very honest, open, just the same thing that translates throughout the Trailblazers organization right now, which is just, it's kind of amazing, to be completely honest. And I know I wrote a piece about it specifically on CJ, but it's a different level of NBA that we have today than we've ever had, as far as access goes, as far as media, as far as social media. And, you know, the way that these players brand themselves now is way more than they ever have. And you've got, you know, I think I mentioned, you know, CJ's basically up from 8 a.m. to you know, midnight or one doing work. And whether people think that or not, he is. It's just a different type of work and a different type of thing every single day. So other than that, I mean, I don't have too much more for you. I wish I had more quick hits or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, I figured I'd try and stump you with something, but it sounds like you had it all pretty dialed in. So
you've been around the block, your friend. You can't stump me.
There you go. But yeah, we'll have to do it again. Hopefully we'll get you on the sideline report with Jamie and I. And I think we're going to do that in a couple weeks here. So yeah, that'll be fun. She said, I think she's on vacation or something like that. So something along those lines.
And I got to work with her the last few weeks during the playoffs, and she working, you know, she works so hard, and she's so talented and just a wonderful person. So it was an honor to get to work with her and get to know her.
Yeah, she's awesome. And, you know, the rest of the CSN and W crew is great. And actually, all the people that cover the Blazers are pretty cool. So it's a good city to be in if you want to cover sports teams. So
it definitely is. And just one last piece there, just, you know, for fans here, we get the opportunity to kind of see what goes on around the league. The broadcasting crew that we have, Barrett and Rice, Wheeler and Tone, they are four of the best. And I don't think people realize just how lucky we have it.
Yep.
The professionalism, yes, they are homers, and yes, that is a good thing. And I've never understood people that don't like their announcers to be homers. If you're a fan and you're watching, you want to know that the guys that are doing it care about it. And they are, without a doubt, Mike Barrett is one of the most talented play-by-play guys in the game, and not just the NBA, but all around sports. I mean, the guy is phenomenal. So we really do have it good around here. There's a lot of good coverage, and
yeah,
you know, a lot of the you know, Comcast and all these companies around here, they've bought into the Blazers because they know that they have to wrap their arms around them, and it's worked out. And there is so much coverage, but it's all done so well.
Yeah, it's incredible because, you know, all the coverage is really, really well done, and everyone has their own take on it, and it's all different. I mean, I'm very surprised. Most cities, most places around the NBA, you will not find a better city than what Portland has to offer as far as branding their basketball, as well as who's covering the basketball. And you said it perfectly, Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, they prepare, they work their, you know, their butts off all day long trying to get stuff prepared and ready to go. That whole broadcasting crew in the back working in the video truck, you know what I'm talking about. Most people don't, but there's a video trailer outside of the Moda Center, actually under it.
Jeff Curtin, you know, runs a good ship back there.
Exactly. And they run a great ship. I got to sit back there and kind of linger with them for a couple of games and spend some time with Mike Barrett and Mike Rice. And they're all just fantastic people. But along with that, they're extremely talented. And like you said, the homerism thing, it's really overplayed. And it needs to, I have a feeling that it needs to stop. That's my personal opinion of it. But a lot of people think that homerism is bad for a specific NBA team to have. But look, that's their attitude. You know, they work with the team every day and day out. You can't expect them to be, you know, they're not NBA TNT guys. That's not their job. Their job is to be a little bit biased because the people who are watching the channel are Blazer fans.
It's sports, you know.
It is.
People take it too seriously in that sense sometimes. It's like you sit down at the end of the night, you want to watch your team, and you want to know that the guys that are covering it are invested like you are.
Yep.
And, you know, that they're the first ones to call out if it was a bad call for Portland or against Portland, but they also are the first ones, you know, to scream and knock their headphones off when we're winning shot. You know, it's the perfect balance. And I think people that don't like it, I think they take it way too seriously.
Yeah. And the balance between Mike Rice and Mike Barrett may not be any better than what they have it right now. I mean, there's really no one else in the NBA like it. I think they're ranked constantly in the top five of broadcasters in the NBA through all the different, you know, awful announcing or all the different websites that you can go to find rankings on those sort of things. But yeah, it's incredible to be around this team in this city, and the way that they cover the team is just totally different from anybody else. So,
definitely.
But it's been obviously a pleasure talking to you and getting to know you a little bit more and figuring out what the strategy moving forward is if you're Joel Gunderson, GM of the Trailblazers. So what we'll do is, we'll do the sideline reports and some other stuff, and then hopefully we'll have you on again, do some more back and forth and try and get some more opinions out there. And I think that's about it. Where can people find you if they're if they're surfing around on the web or, you know, on Twitter or whatever, give me all the different places you can go. And if you're working on anything, let people know.
Yeah. So on Twitter, I'm at jgundy85. If you go to the Cauldron, thecauldron.si.com, they're a feature section of Sports Illustrated. I have a lot of there stuff up there. Just go to there and search my name. You can find all this. I cover a lot of the stuff I've written about is obviously Northwest sports, Oregon.
Sure.
Ducks, Blazers. I got some national stuff there. I wrote an article about how much I love Greg Popovich, and that one got a lot of love because, despite, you know, my affinity for the Blazers, I think that Pop's the best in the game. He's
incredible. Sure is.
I got some stuff I'm working on right now, some fun stuff. But you know, I got to keep it under wraps till it gets out there. But to keep looking there, and obviously you can find me on Twitter, and everything that I put out will be there as well.
Cool. Awesome. Well, it was nice having you on. I will look forward to speaking with you soon, Joel.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right.
All right.